So, good morning, everyone. For those of you that might not know, my name is David Miles. I am 17 years old, senior in high school. Today, I'd like to start off by asking you guys a question. What is it like to hear the gospel from a non-Christian standpoint? Now, I'm asking you this because throughout my life, I've done a little bit of evangelism. Not too much, but a little bit. Whether it's downtown with the Nichols family, or at Camp Iloli working there, or just throughout my day-to-day life interactions. And, you know, a lot of the time when I talk to these people, I try to talk to them in terms with things that they can relate with. Instead of just walking around and telling people, you know, oh, you're a sinner, you need to be saved, or, you know, trying to get into a conversation right away about different things that are wrong in their life, I try to talk to them first. I get to know them. I want to talk to them and learn who they are, what they do, and maybe even some things that they struggle with. You know, I'll share that with them too. I'll tell them about my life. And a lot of the time, these people tell me that in their life, they're missing three things: joy, hope, and truth. Now, they don't tell me this directly, but you can tell just throughout the way that people talk to you what they're lacking in their life. And those are the three things that I find most often. Real quick, let's just pray real quick and just ask God to bless this time. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this church and for the people in this church that love you. Father, I just pray that you bless our time today, that we'll be open-minded, and that we will learn something from your word today. I would just ask these things in your name, amen. So, joy. I don't know of anybody besides the Addams family, because they are so pessimistic, that doesn't like to have fun. Who here doesn't like to have fun, right? Yeah, okay. Everyone loves here to have fun. All right, so a lot of the people that I talk to, they just say that life is mundane, it's dull, it has no value in it. Hope. I remember I was talking to a friend of mine last week, I think it was, and my friend's a hardcore drug addict, unfortunately. He's always getting high and stuff, and he tells me that he always gets high because it makes him feel better about himself. It dulls the pain that he feels. He doesn't have to focus on reality in his life. It gives him a hope. Truth. So, I'm going to get a little more personal on this one. A lot of you guys know Nate Winlent. I think everyone here does, actually. But Nate and I have been friends since we were really little. We grew up together. And so Nate, when he was about 11 or 12, he really got into online ordering. He would save up his money and go on Amazon or eBay, Craigslist, and he'd buy all these cool things. And I distinctly remember Nate getting this one specific toy. It was a Nerf crossbow. Now, at this age, Nate and I were really into Nerf guns. So when he told me he had bought a Nerf crossbow, it was like, you are a god. Okay? He was ultimate cool kid. So he had to wait a couple of weeks to get this crossbow. And we were just, you know, he's just picturing running across the yard with a Nerf gun in his hands, crossbow strapped to his back, you know, just being totally awesome. And so Nate goes through the first week and is really excited. Second week comes and he's even more excited. Dan, I found your coffee. All right, third week comes. and Nate can barely wait to get this crossbow. Finally, the day comes when the box comes. It was just one problem. The box was this big. So, I'm sure they figured out. Nate didn't actually get what he was looking for. He got a little Nerf crossbow that you strap to your wrist and press a little button and it shoots a little missile out. Needless to say, I don't really remember Nate ordering much stuff online after that. Nate learned a valuable lesson that day, that the world sometimes tells you things that aren't true. It tries to get you to believe things so that they'll gain profit from that. But in reality, it's a lie. So those are the three things that most people I talk to are lacking in their life: joy, hope, and truth. And you know, a lot of the time, I'll hear people say that, and I'll be like, hey, well, I've got this really cool solution. It's Jesus Christ. And that's, boom, instant turn off, you know, just, I'm done. All right. They'll say things like, yeah, that's cool, or yeah, that works for some people, but they really just don't care. They don't see any value in it. they don't trust that God can truly help them, that he can bring that sense of peace in their life. So when it's times like these, I like to share my testimony. I like to show them a real life example of the change that Christ can bring in a person. Now, I was preparing for today with Mr. Winlet, and he was giving me some advice about sharing my testimony. And he brought up a passage of scripture that I found extremely valuable, not only in its content, but also in its format. So some of you may be familiar with Acts 26, where Paul is talking to the king of Agrippa, putting up a defense against the accusations made against him. So Paul presents a bit of an interesting case. Usually when you're in trouble, you don't like just completely avoid the defense. You actually give a defense. But Paul here just takes the opportunity to share the gospel message with the king of Agrippa and all the tenants that are with him. So verses 2 through 11, Paul's talking about his life before he met Christ. He tells about how he sinned against God and he was killing Christians. He grew up obeying the law. He was a brilliant young man and he was a Pharisee. And he talks about how he just felt this need to go and like hunt down these Christians that were blaspheming. And he'd travel to different cities to kill them. So Paul tells about that. And then the next section, verses 12 through 18, Paul tells about his conversion. He talks about how he was on the road to Damascus to go and start killing more Christians and persecuting them when he met Jesus on the road. And Jesus blinded him and told him to go into Damascus and he would be healed. So when Paul was regiven his sight, he was told to preach the gospel and to talk to all the people in the world, Gentiles and Jews, and share with them the gospel. And then lastly, in verses 19 through 23, Paul talks about how he spread the gospel to all peoples. He tells of times when he was persecuted for Christ's message and how God helped him through that all the time. Every trial that he faced, God was with him. So now I'd like to talk about my own testimony. My life before Christ, my conversion, and my life with Christ. So growing up, I was immersed in what I would call the Christian bubble of protection. Both my parents were Christians and heavily involved in ministry here at this church and elsewhere. And when I was about 5, I prayed the salvation prayer and was saved from my sins. Of course, at this age, I didn't really have any comprehension of what I was committing to. So I continued on this path of life, day by day, no different from before I was saved. Some of you may know about the marriage problems that my parents had and how they, through the grace and strength of Christ, were able to work through the problems that they faced. What most of you don't know is how that affected me and how I started to form lust in my heart. When I learned about my parents' sin, I started to look for the things in life that they were looking for. I was looking for those things that satisfy the flesh. While searching for these things, I became addicted to things like pornography, and I've developed these own lustful desires in my heart. And through my destructive behavior, I destroyed relationships with friends. And I hurt my family badly. They didn't understand why I was doing all these terrible things. But instead of seeking redemption, I hardened my heart and I continued my search for pleasure. Romans 8:7 says, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." That was me. My mind was set on pleasure, on things of the flesh. So because of that, I couldn't focus on God's law and I couldn't focus on God. So I continued the search of the flesh, even going as far as to experiment with drugs and alcohol to find pleasure. Soon, I came to have a depressed state of mind. I had feelings of hopelessness in my search, and soon thoughts of death crept into the back of my mind. There were nights when I would go on walks over a bridge and climb the railing, trying to bring myself to jump and plummet to the cold, dark concrete 20 feet below. But I always climbed down. I was climbed down from that railing, and I just went home. I couldn't figure out what it was that made me stop every time, but I felt this feeling deep inside that there was a bigger purpose for me. I had value in my life. I just didn't know what it was. Now, eventually, my parents had enough. They got me counseling, and I honestly resented them for it. In my mind, I was fine. I was normal. This is what life was like. It was terrible. But nevertheless, I was forced to go. And I'll be honest, I don't remember much from these sessions because I just didn't care. I didn't want to be there, so I wasn't there. But I do remember one thing that stuck with me since that first session with this guy. He told me that I was in a pit of despair. And I was at the bottom of this pit, and the only way I could go was up. Otherwise, I'll just sit there in the bottom of the pit until the day I die. I was told there was good news and bad news with this. The good news is there was a ladder right in front of me. Just picture that. You're in a dark pit, and there's a ladder right in front of you. All I had to do was step onto the first rung of this ladder, grab the sides, and start climbing. The bad news was that I had to do this. No one could make me or even help me. I had to do it. And once I started to climb, I couldn't stop or I would start to fall down again. Now, as far as a conversion, I really don't have a certain period in my life that I just decided to start living for Christ. For me, it was a period of time that I was indecisive. I knew what I needed to do and how to do it. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Every time that I would take a step towards redemption, it seemed like I was knocked 3 feet back. But it wasn't until I started to get back up right away and march towards the end that I started to gain control of my life. It was during this time of fighting that I discovered my true love of music. The only time that I was ever really exposed to music was during worship services. So to me, that was the way that I could get that glory. To stand up in front of people and sing for my glory in my honor. It wasn't until this time of internal fighting that I stopped singing for myself and started singing to God. You see, since I only sang Christian music in church, I would play and sing these Christian songs whenever I felt down or depressed, and I'd feel better about myself. But over time, I stopped listening to the sound of my voice, and I started to listen to the words coming out of my mouth. These words were powerful to me. I didn't always understand them. They were powerful. Songs like "How Great Is Our God" and "Oceans Where Feet May Fail." These were my favorite songs because they became my lifeline. Now instead of singing to make myself feel better, I sang to God and He would make me feel better. It was at this point in my life that I would say I was truly saved and started to live my life to glorify Christ. My favorite verse is Psalm 71:23. "My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have saved." I think this verse perfectly describes my life. Because when I sing praise to God, I feel that joy that I was missing. I find that truth that we so often can't find in our life. I find a hope to live another day. And you know, when I started to live my life for Christ, I had a whole new view on life itself. Instead of searching ways to pleasure myself, I started to look for ways to help others so that I could please Christ. I'm a strong believer that the best way to bring glory to Christ is living your life in dedication to ministering to others. And that brings me back to my opening question. What is it like to hear the gospel from a non-Christian standpoint? If you are a Christian, you know what this is like, because at one point or another, you are that non-Christian hearing the gospel. And I think it's important to talk to people that aren't Christians from a way that they can understand, that they can relate, that they can find value in, so that we can help them find that joy, that hope, and that truth through the love and grace of Christ. Thank you.